Mustn't fail, mustn't fall. So I'm no weary doll, waiting for the day I get my wings.
I'm George Walker for WFIU Arts. Composer Jake Heggie and librettist Gene Shear bring It's a Wonderful Life, Frank Capra's iconic film, to the opera stage in a flowing, tuneful production that manages to follow the original in an insightful and moving production. There's plenty to talk about with the tuneful and rhythmic music, the fine singing, the good acting by all. But probably the first thing you'll hear about is the raked set and the rows and rows of doors that had me thinking of the cartoon Monsters, Inc. And people are probably going to talk about how the film's angel Clarence is the opera's Clara. Saturday night's Clara, Ann Sloven, was a delight as the wingless angel second class, who's assigned to save Bedford Falls' disappointed George Bailey from drowning himself. She sang beautifully, danced well, always a sympathetic and active figure. For the angel to earn her wings, she has to save George. But first, Clara needs to get to know him. We and Clara follow George through his life. Terence Chin Loy was the adult George, a dynamic singer-actor, as the reluctant head of the socially conscious Bedford Falls Savings and Loan. George's youthful dreams of military glory were destroyed by an icy swim that saved his brother Harry. George's hopes for travel ended with the sudden death of his father. His own college plans end when the brother that he saved marries and takes a job with the bride's father. Love does come to George, and yes, we do get to see him and Virginia Mims as the spirited wife-to-be, Mary, take that dip in the high school pool. Later, travel plans with Mary end with the savings and loans needs in the crash of 29. World War II comes, and Brother Harry, sung by Ian Murrell, becomes an overseas war hero while bitterly homebound George leads conservation efforts, scrap metal drives, and bond rallies. The last straw, the thing that brings him and Clara to that bridge, is the threat of the savings and loans failure and jail for George. His Uncle Billy, an engaging Andrew Flanagan, has lost an $8,000 deposit. Actually, it's been stolen by the avaricious wheelchair-bound Henry Potter, played with cold gall by David Tahir. But neither Billy nor George nor the bank examiner and the sheriff are in on the theft. George blows up at Uncle Billy, blames his wife, blames his children, mostly blames himself for what he sees as an empty, unfulfilled, valueless life. It's Clara's job to show George what would have happened if he'd never been born. The troops that Harry saved would have died. The beloved uncle would have ended life in a madhouse. The evil Henry Potter would have prevailed, and the now vicious town would bear the name Pottersville. The townspeople, whom Clara heard praying for George at the beginning of the opera, turn out. They contribute more than enough to cover the bank's losses. As in the film, George sees that indeed he has been a success, and he sees the beauty of his own hometown. For a closing to the opera, there's a festive gathering of the cast that stretches all the way from one side of the wide stage to the other. Though this wasn't enough to get a standing ovation Saturday night, but when the cast invited us to sing along on Auld Lang Syne, we did rise and sing along. It's a Wonderful Life as a co-production with the Houston Grand Opera, the IU Opera Theater, and the San Francisco Opera. This maiden voyage of the opera is a traveling show. Leonard Folia's direction, the sets of Robert Brill lit by Brian Nason, with those projections by Elaine McCarthy, costumes of David Woolard, and the sound design of E.M. Jimenez have come from Houston. When the show wraps up in Bloomington, all will be sent on to San Francisco. IU's own David Neely, who directed Heggie and Shear's Dead Man Walking, conducted the IU student production. The IU Opera Theater's production of Jake Heggie and Gene Shear's It's a Wonderful Life has final performances Thursday, November 16th, and Friday, November 17th. You can find this review and an interview with composer Jake Heggie at wfiu.org/arts. And at the Theater For You, I'm George Walker.